Well, they say great things come in pairs, and that couldn't be more true with Michelle Anderson. I had interviewed a classmate of Michelle's at Valparaiso like a week ago or a few weeks ago named Maddie Moorhead, and they actually did the exact same study abroad program in the same location. But it's crazy because their interviews were completely different as far as the stories, the experiences, the memories, and it's just really interesting to hear the exact same thing yet so different. So, Michelle Anderson from Valparaiso University, southern part of Africa. Enjoy.
The three biggest reasons only 10% of students study abroad. They're afraid of being homesick, they don't think it's safe, and the number one reason people don't study abroad is cost. We're here to dispel all that. Find out exactly how that 10% crafted their study abroad journey and how you can too. I'm Chris Carlton, and this is the Study Abroadcast.
All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Study Abroadcast. I hope you guys are doing well. I am here with Michelle Anderson from Valparaiso. Michelle, thank you very much for being here. How are you doing today? Welcome to the show.
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. Staying warm up here in Wisconsin, or at least trying to. So tell me about this. Went to Africa.
I did. So I lived in the southern part of Africa for 4 months for my study abroad program. I was in Windhoek, Namibia, which is the capital city. And Namibia is located like right above South Africa, for those who don't know. Because going into it, I didn't know a ton about the area. And so with
who's going to know? It's not like going to London, right? Like,
No, it's not. Okay. I want to go somewhere different.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So go ahead. So you didn't know much about the area, right? And
no.
Okay, so why was there? You're a social work major, is that right?
Yes.
And as far as this program you did, because I'm a bit familiar with it, was there anywhere else you could choose to go, or is this like it? Like you can go to the southern part of Africa to do this specific program where you got to work like with communities and I don't know, we'll learn about it, but yeah. So were there options or?
Yeah, there were tons of options. I could have gone anywhere really. Valpo has a few study centers in Costa Rica, England, China, and Germany. But I was lucky enough, like in high school, I went with my family on a trip to Europe and also my freshman year of college. So I'd already been to England, France, Germany, Denmark, and Italy. And so when I was looking at programs, originally I was looking at France. I do speak a little French, a little poor French. And when I was looking at the programs at Valpo, first off, I didn't feel confident enough in my language skills. And when I was looking, I kind of wanted to go somewhere different that I hadn't been. And so I was really between Australia and Namibia as something about those programs drew me in. But I ended up going with the Center for Global Education and Experience program. It's through Augsburg University. Because I just thought the program sounded interesting. And when I was looking, I was like, you know, when I was younger, there was some point when I was like, I would really like to go to the continent of Africa. I would still like to go back and go to some of the French-speaking parts. Because like I said, I do know a little French, but this is where the program was offered and just, you know, it was experiential. It had homestays, which was really important to me. And I have no regrets about going. I think it really ended up being the best way I could have spent my study abroad experience.
Yeah, no, and we're going to get into it. So what semester did you go?
So I went in the fall of 2017. That's what worked for my social work program. They actually did a really great job of leaving that time for us to be able to go. So that worked out perfectly for me.
And how long were you there for? You, it was a semester, right? So 4 months,
yeah.
Was it? Okay.
4 months, yes.
Yeah. And then were you able to get any financial aid, like apply for any scholarships or grants or anything like that before you left?
I was. So one of the big perks of study abroad, which I loved, is my normal financial aid transferred. So it's definitely a requirement to go through a Valpo-approved program, not necessarily one of their study centers, but somewhere where my financial aid would transfer, and that worked out well. And then I got a $1,000 scholarship from our Honors College. So I would just encourage people to look at that, because I found out after I came back that some other people had gone on different programs or different places. Like, there's tons of scholarships out there. So if you really want to look, like, talk to your study abroad office. I would tell people don't not study abroad because of the cost. Because I know for me and my sister who studied abroad in Denmark through a different school, the cost of study abroad was about comparable or even maybe a little less than being on campus. So, you know, don't let cost deter you.
Right. No, especially if you go to a private school too.
Yes.
Yeah. Or an out-of-state school.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I wrote about that. And okay, so you're in Africa, right? And mm-hmm. so, and I talked about this guy's... I interviewed, this is ironic, but there's another classmate that did the same thing. So we get two for the, well, I don't want to say price of one, but we get two, like twice the interviews. So you, twice the different experiences, different memories, and different, I guess, outlooks or views of the process of doing something in Southern Africa. Notice I'm careful about saying not South Africa, but Southern Africa.
Yes.
I'm sure that's a mistake a lot of people make. But okay, yes. So you're over there and you did get these scholarships and it worked out pretty well for you. What was your, so you get there and you land, did you have any fears or reservations before you left or doubts?
I think I honestly was a little overwhelmed. So the summer before I left, I actually had an internship in Maryland. So I was only home that summer about a few weeks total. So I had about a week and a half to unpack and repack for 4 months. So I've learned a lot about like, what do I actually need? What, and like, how much material can last me for 4 months. So that was kind of overwhelming. And I was just anxious to get there because I flew to DC, met up with my friend, and then we went to Georgia, and then we flew to Johannesburg, South Africa. So at that point, I was just done with planes and ready to get there. So we spent our first 2 weeks in South Africa. So we spent a week in Johannesburg, and we did a weekend homestay, like a day and a half in the Eastern Cape and then a week in Cape Town. So we had like this crazy whirlwind 2 weeks of learning and tours and museums and touring and such before we even moved in. So we kind of lived out of our suitcases for 2 weeks.
Right. That's yeah. So tell me, I didn't get into this in the last one, but tell me a little bit about Joburg, right? I know they call it that. Joburg and Cape Town. Those are two, I mean, you mentioned 2 weeks and going to both those places. Yeah. That was probably just like a whirlwind of activities. And I mean, can you tell me a little bit about those cities?
Yeah. So Johannesburg is kind of what people think of as the big city there.
Right.
Our program has this really great tour guide, Malefi. And so he's a local South African who does tours there. So he took us around the different neighborhoods. Just to kind of highlight, one of my favorite places we went there was this place called Freedom Park. And it's a memorial to all of the South African citizens. So there's different sections for every war. There's a section for, you know, political prisoners. So someone like Steve Biko is on the wall. Mm-hmm. And there's different memorials there. And walking around, like, you can see the views of the city. So that was really cool. We went to the Apartheid Museum, which was really interesting. At the beginning, they give you a card to, like, assign your race. And you have to go into a different entrance based onto that. Yeah. So that was really cool. It's kind of like a metal mesh wall that you can see through, so you can see the other people on your group kind of separated by this arbitrary decision, and you're reading about how during that time they reclassified people's races. It was based on something like a pencil test. People in the same family could be classified as different races. And so I had only known the people I was with for a few days maybe, and I was still standing there, and I was like, you know, I wouldn't even be allowed to interact with these people during this time, like, we would be separated.
Yeah.
So that was really powerful. A lot going on there. Because it was our first city, we didn't get to kind of tour on our own a lot. But it was really cool. Our program was really great about meeting local people. So we went to the Hector Peterson Museum, which is dedicated to all the students in the Soweto riots, for the school riots. And he is one of the kids who was killed, and we actually got to meet his sister, and she hosted two of her friends for like the homestay. So it's like a very interactive program with the local people.
I'm gonna have to link that into the show notes. I have no clue about these riots, but it sounds like it had a drastic effect on the history there at some point. What were they called again?
That's the thing, too. I learned so much history. So the Soweto school riots, basically this was during apartheid, so races were legally separated, and basically the school said You have to learn education in a certain way. They like made a rule that they would only teach in oh gosh, no, I'm forgetting. In a certain language. So they were saying like, oh, we'll only teach in the local language. And then they were like, well, we still want to be learning English. And so the students were very upset about that.
Right.
And so they actually like stopped going to school for a while, and it got really violent. And on June 16th is kind of the big breaking point where like the police were putting out gas on these students and they were shooting, and it got really intense. So I would definitely encourage you to look.
Well, no encouragement needed. I'm gonna do it. Yeah,
Yeah.
for sure. No, it's interesting. Yeah, I mean, so just like hearing you say, like, refer to them as the, like, which means it just tells me that you like got educated and got to know about these things. And there's so much like people here. I mean, probably before you left, even like you hear South Africa, first of all, like for okay. So I've never heard of Namibia, but right before these interviews, I had, but like not like I couldn't point it to you on a map.
For
And
sure.
then you hear South Africa and you're like apartheid and Cape Town, and like that's what you've got. And so yeah, it's really interesting to learn about everything because I have heard that they are pretty amazing places to travel to and see. So
Yes, I would say both South Africa and Namibia are two of the prettiest places I've ever been in the world, and I have had the opportunity to travel a bit.
yeah.
So I try and like, it's a lot coming back and trying to convey all this intense history, but also convey like what they're doing well, interacting with the people, because I did get to meet some of the local people, and
Right.
you don't forget that. I think about them all the time,
Sure.
so.
Yeah. And so you do that, and again with traveling, and I think I've written about this too, but like just getting there, and I feel like it's fuel on the fire for the whole like 2 weeks, because if you got there and just like went to your place that you're gonna be, like you're still excited, right? Like you get there and you want to see everything right away, and it's a mis I don't want to say it's a mistake, but it's just something that everyone goes through, and it's completely normal to just want to like get up and go and see everything. And you actually did. And you got a tour and you got to do it. So you do that, and we heard about Joburg, Cape Town, South Africa, and now you're over in Namibia, right? Okay, so you get over there, and I know you're still moving around a little bit. It's not like you're there for the rest of the time, but tell me about a little bit about the living situation in Namibia then.
So after our 2 whirlwind weeks in South Africa, we flew to Namibia. And I definitely remember like catching up with my family and everything, finally unpacking, and that was such a great experience. So we lived in a house there, which sometimes people I think have a different picture of where I lived, but Namibia is a very large city. And so we lived in this very large house that can accommodate up to like 20 some students. We took all our classes there. It's a very big yard. Like we have a library separate. All the offices are there. We have room for our 2 vans because we traveled around a lot. We had a garden, the RA's house, bathrooms, a pool. So it's a very large area. And then so we were all assigned different rooms. So I was upstairs with 2 other girls. There were 10 of us total in the house. We're all American students, but in the past they have had some students of different nationalities too. So the house is kind of our base point. We ate there, they cooked for us, and like we had a cooking staff and they were incredible. We helped put out the meals and we all ate together. So kind of communal living. We took classes in our living room,
Yeah, I
which is really
heard. Yeah.
interesting. Yeah, but most of the time I would say they're like 4-hour block classes, but really like we were out, especially for my history class. We're at museums, we're at monuments, we're going to wildlife sanctuaries,
The
talking with
real
local
classrooms,
teachers.
right?
Yeah, exactly. That's
Okay.
something I appreciate and miss a lot is the experiential learning. I know I learned so much there in those 4 months, and I think it's just a healthy style. I'm sure Maddie mentioned this, but part of our program was going on weekend trips. So part of our classes were some of these specifically included trips to the coast, a rural era for our homestay. We did a homestay in the city as well. But I just wish I could like show people a picture of Namibia because I know people can't always picture it. But yeah, I lived in a large house. And something that's culturally different there is fences. So all houses in South Africa and Namibia kind of have these large fences. So ours was kind of like a concrete one with the electric expense on top. And that's just kind of from the apartheid history, and that's just was an intense time. And
Do you still have it? Do you have a picture of the house?
I do, yeah, I
Okay.
could send you.
Yeah, definitely. Please do. So right away, I'm imagining like the picture I'm painting of it is kind of like one of those like a ma not a mansion, but like a big house that you'd see in like New Orleans with a kind of like a southern like with the fence and the sprawling yard. That's what I'm
Yeah.
picturing. I don't know if I'm close. It's gonna be
It's kind
interesting
of
to see the
that
picture.
size. It's
Yeah.
kind of that size. It's actually ironic. I was just in New Orleans a little bit ago with my family.
So you know what
Less
I'm
like,
talking about, yeah.
yeah, less wrought iron, but like, I think size-wise, yes. Okay.
Okay, and then also when you say you said there was 10 of you, are they all Valpo and Augsburg kids, or are they from other schools?
Yeah, so for my program, we did not have any Augsburg students with us. We had a record number of students from Valpo. 6 out of 10 of us were from Valpo. And then we had one from Clark University, one from Williams College, and one from, or two from, I'm sorry, University of Puget Sound. So those are in Worcester, Massachusetts, New York, and then like Tacoma, Washington area, respectively. So kind of spread out. And so I actually went with my current roommate, and we have been friends for a long time. But other than that, from the program, not a ton of us didn't really know each other. So that was a whole experience of really getting to know one another. Like, because we traveled together, we learned together, we lived together for 4 months straight
Yeah,
almost.
you guys are like lifelong friends now, right? Pretty much.
Yes.
Or you will be. I mean, you're long
Yes.
friends, but
We have
whatever.
done
Yeah.
some visits of, oh,
Already?
we
I
had
love
some
that.
people.
I love hearing those stories. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's been really fun.
I should start a podcast just on like the visits that ensue between roommates and classmates
Oh,
after
I would love
the
that. We have a
Perfect.
blast whenever we catch up.
And social work, were there any guys or was it all girls?
So social, okay, so Oxford College, they have the Center for Global Education Experience, and they have a couple programs. So their Mexico program is specifically listed as social work. The one I went on, so the official name of our program was like nation building, and like decolonizing the mind. So it was more political science focused, but a lot of what I did, I felt very social work connected. My internship was at a women's domestic violence shelter, so that was pretty social work focused. And I learned a lot that way. But we're a variety of majors. So the classes we could have taken, I took an environmental science class, which is really interesting given the climate and their interaction with wildlife, kind of navigating that. A history class, which is kind of comparative between Southern Africa and the United States, which is really interesting because it kind of took the basis of what we know, like civil rights movement and everything with the history of Southern Africa. Super interesting. I took a religion class, so we went to all the different religious institutions in the area. And then there are two political science courses people could have taken. And then, like I said, I did an internship. So we're a variety of majors. We have an education major. She's going to go on to teach high school science, a couple international relations majors, environmental science focus, women's studies, psychology. We're a variety of majors. I think there is something certain, I don't know, maybe there's a certain type of interest that draws someone to a program like that. But our backgrounds were a little varied, which is something I really appreciated because we all brought different perspectives then to the program.
Yeah, right, definitely. Do you mind if I put some of these? We're sharing pictures on Skype right now, and I'm gonna put some
Yeah,
of these in the post for sure.
that's fine.
Okay, and then is there anything? Tell me about where else did you go then? Like,
Yeah.
as far as so, Maddie mentioned this wasn't the only place she stayed. Did you go anywhere else? Live anywhere else? And then also, tell me about trips or things like that
Yeah.
happened. Okay.
So, like I kind of mentioned earlier, our program did involve study, like traveling, which is awesome. So, obviously, the 2 weeks in South Africa, we went to Swakopmund, which is on the coast. We went to Lüderitz, which is also a coastal area. We went to this in the Namib Desert, we went to this place called NEDIT. It's an environmental education trust, and that was one of the coolest experiences. They work a lot with younger students in the area, kind of working on educating them with how to be environmentally sustainable. So they had a lot with, like, they had solar-powered cooking for everything. The bathrooms were, like, drop toilets, bucket showers, so you, like, load up the bucket with water and kind of raise it up. And we, like, had a competition to see who could conserve the most water. But the coolest thing there was the sky was incredible. There and at our rural homestay, because of the lack of light, there wasn't as much light pollution. So, like, you could see more stars than I knew were possible to see. So those are really cool. We went to Corihas for my trip. So that's where our rural homestay was. I just want to clarify for people. So where we stayed, like, they had drop toilets, but they didn't really work. We didn't really have electricity, but they had, like, solar. They had phones and stuff that they could charge with solar power. But, like, maybe a 10-minute drive away, there was town. And then we had, like, Wi-Fi and electricity and everything. So, like, I don't want people to get the wrong image, because it is kind of hard to describe. But it's something where staying with my rural homestay family, I was like, they don't care. Like, their lives were not lacking in any way. And honestly, I think, like, spending that week with them is one of the calmest I've been. And again, just sitting there and seeing the stars, like, I would go back to that moment in an instant. Along with that, we were near Atosha National Park. So that was incredible. Our driver was really great at spotting the different animals. And I'm someone who loves wildlife. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to go to Africa, because of their wildlife. And just, like, we were driving past, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh, there's a rhino literally right there on the side of the road. And we saw so many different animals. So that was really cool. And then we got a fall break. So six of us went to Zambia and Victoria Falls. And I believe Maddie went to the same place. So we took this, like, 24-hour bus ride to Zambia. And while we were there, we whitewater rafted on the Zambezi right between Zambia and Zimbabwe, which was really cool. I'd never done anything like that. But the guides are really great, and I was able to stay in the boat the whole time. And there's also this natural pool called Devil's Pool, and it's literally on top of a waterfall. You can kind of, like, swim up to the edge with the guides. So that was a really fun week of a trip we planned on our own. So, I mean, there was a lot of travel around, which I really appreciated, because it can get really expensive too. And something I appreciate about the program is, because so much was included, where our driver was going to drive us to Lutterworth, which is about a 10-hour drive from where we were. There's tons of places I know I wouldn't have gotten to see otherwise.
Wait, you said, so this is a bus you're taking, I'm assuming?
Yes. Okay. So the school has a driver, and we have two buses. And so our driver was in charge of getting us to internship on different days. So most of us would either be in classes and then, or at internship, or both. So, like, because of when my schedule fell, I had Thursdays and Fridays free, but that's when we would travel on the weekends if we were going on a weekend trip. So the weeks we were in town, I went to internship almost every day, honestly. So after classes or in the morning, you would have Passat, and whoever else was going to their internships that day, he would go and drive us each to our individual locations and drop us off and then come pick us up later. And he would take us on any field trips. So, like I said, we'd go to museums during a class. So he would drive to that. And he would drive for any of these side trips as well. So that was, he's pretty awesome.
So, yeah, he's like one of those guys, like, God bless him. Like, thank you for doing
this
kind of thing.
Yeah, okay. Always had a positive attitude. The staff there was amazing.
I like kind of the running narrative that, like, we can revert to Maddie's experience, because the next question is a travel story. And Maddie told us that she actually got mugged when she was there.
Oh, my goodness.
Hopefully you didn't get mugged, but did anything happen? And it doesn't have to be something bad, but, like, did anything crazy happen or exciting or adventurous out of the norm that you want to share?
I just have some funny ones. So I did not have any issues with getting robbed, and none of my friends did either. There were some instances where people were like, maybe something could have happened, but nothing did. I don't think she'd mind me sharing this. So, like I said, in Zambia, we went on this fall break trip. And there's a lot of baboons in this national park.
Okay, I like where
And
this
yeah,
is
I tell
going.
the story a ton, and people are like, what? So in the office where you buy the tickets, there was like a window, but there wasn't any glass in it. And our friend said to our other friend, she was like, you know what? Like, you have some stuff hanging off your backpack, and it's kind of shiny, and like baboons will grab that. So we were told, and like kind of the protocol is like, you know, these are wild animals and they like shiny things. So don't have anything hanging off your backpack. They've been known to steal water bottles and like don't like have your phone up because sometimes they've taken people's phones. And so our friend who said this, her fiance had actually gone the year before. And so like she knew a bit about the program and stuff. So she was like, you know, make sure you don't have stuff sticking out. So our friend goes to put this stuff in her backpack and this baboon jumps through like the window. Because there's no glass there, and he kind of walks in the office, and we're all looking at him. And he goes over to our friend, and he starts to like go to grab her bag. And so, like, he grabs her wrists, and he like stands up on his hind legs, and he like bares his teeth. And we're all like, oh my goodness, what's happening? And like, the staff who's working there is behind like a glass thing selling us the tickets, and they're just looking, and we're all like, oh my gosh. So, we don't know how she walked away with like her backpack and not getting hurt, because we had just gotten there. It was the first day of our trip, and we were like, oh my gosh, like she's about to be attacked by a baboon. So I have kind of a fear of baboons now. Like I was a little wary of them for the rest of the trip. I just kept an eye on them. But the baby ones were kind of cute.
Every baby animal is cute, but then they get
Yeah.
older and they're baboons. I like how you started this story, like they've been, you talk about them like they're people, like they've been known to take water bottles and
They
okay.
have, though. Yeah, they like
Well,
shiny things. Who can blame them?
yeah, shiny things or water, right? Who doesn't like
Yeah.
water? All right, and do you, can you get into a little bit about the food now? Is there anything that jumped out at you that you want to share? I know, again, Maddie just, like, we just had Maddie's interviews, and there's not that much. It's not like you were in Paris or Italy or something like that, but I mean, just what was your take on the food there?
Yeah. Well, that's actually funny because I've been to both Paris and Italy and love the
Oh,
food,
nice.
but
Okay.
Your question specifically said, what food do you miss most from your time abroad? And I was like,
Yes.
oh, so much. Okay. So, like I said, we lived in the house and they cooked for us. So sometimes what we had wasn't necessarily like super traditional. And the food's not like, nothing was like too crazy different that I felt thrown off. And like, we did have people who were vegetarian, vegan, and like, they were able to figure it out and everything. So don't, if that's a concern, you can figure it out. But so, I think a lot of my urban homestay with the food. So we would always have some sort of like grain. So we'd have like pasta or rice. And then they kind of like made their sauce, like their meat kind of in like a sauce that was like very flavorful and like vegetables almost in that. So they kind of went together well. And there's this thing called bap. And so it's kind of made from this mealy meal grain. And so that can be used to make like almost an oatmeal in the morning, which is really good, like with brown sugar. It reminds me of something like cream of wheat almost. But then it's also used to make this bap, which like kind of makes a thicker white substance that you kind of grab with your hands and you can like eat the meat with that. And it's actually like a traditional thing because it was like cheap and it was an easy like filling staple to have. But it's something that I really ended up liking and miss. And the other things I talk about a lot are the different kind of meats I got to try because I love trying different foods in places. So that's kind of what stood out to me as different. So I tried like kudu, impala, springbok, which are all like different types of antelope, and like ostrich, like whatever. Like if there was something different, I would try it. They're pretty tender. So that was the big thing I noticed with that I liked. They also have fat cakes there, which are kind of like glorified donuts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Maddie might have mentioned that, but those are really good too.
But you said it bop, like BOP bop.
It's PAP.
PAP pop. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So.
And then these don't. No, she didn't. She mentioned. I'll have to look it up. She mentioned something else. It's like a stew or I. But.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So perfect. So yeah, you guys both mentioned different things.
Yeah.
Well, great. Yeah. So it is good and it's different, right? Like, okay, nice. And
Yeah,
everything
I
sounds
miss food.
pretty good. Yeah. So you've been home for about a year now, a
Yes,
little longer.
little longer than a year, like a year and month and a half.
Right. And but you had been abroad before, but you'd never lived abroad, is that right? Or
Yes.
yeah. So did it change your view of the world since you've been back, or how has it affected you since you've returned?
Yeah, so I think it's important for everyone to travel. Like, if you have any capacity to do that, I think it's really important. I think we should really work towards being more tuned in with the rest of the world. I think there's so much we can learn, and especially going somewhere that people in the United States don't necessarily pay attention to. I learned a lot of really great ideas about how, like Namibia has 50-50 representation of gender in legislation. So, like, that's something I think is really cool and something we can learn from. But living abroad is definitely different. Something I valued about that is making connections. I made connections with the girls at the shelter, the staff, my homestay families that I was able to grow on. And I would consider those like friendships almost. And then going to local events, I think, is different. When you're in an area for a few days, you go to the touristy things and maybe you try to go to some other things too. But I have favorite restaurants from my time abroad. I have favorite places. Myself and three other members of the group had like a gym membership, so we would go there semi-frequently. And it is your home for that time. And it will always, a piece of my heart will always be there as my home for a bit. And I think you just have a capacity to learn in a different way with study abroad. But I think, I don't think people should turn down the chance to travel and see a different part of the world in any capacity.
Oh, sure. That's really well put.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. Do you are there any book recommendations you have?
I actually do. And I want to note real quick, this title has a racial slur in it. So usually I don't refer to it that way, but I want people to get my recommendation. Kafir Boy by Mark Mathabang. It was one of the texts we had to read before we went on our program. I really enjoy his writing style. I'm currently reading another one of his books, and it's an autobiographical narrative of growing up in apartheid-ruled South Africa. And I just think his writing style is really powerful. He's very intelligent. He shows such strength and resilience, and he shows that in his family too. He shows the strong sense of community and how close he is with his family. So kind of the arc of his story is he grew up in a bad part of South Africa and apartheid. His family was really limited by the racist circumstances there, but kind of how his mom was supportive, how he supported his siblings and vice versa, and how he eventually he got involved with tennis. And he was really lucky with some of the white people there showing him generosity of letting him learn tennis, exposing him to books. And once he was given those resources, he really excelled. And so I just thought it was a really powerful book. And like I said, I love his writing style. So that's my huge recommendation to everyone.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, I've heard the advice of a girl that I interviewed. It's not posted yet, but she said everywhere I go or every time I go somewhere, I try to read a book that setting is where I am. So,
I love that.
yeah, so you're right on the money with it. And then any media recommendations like apps or blogs or podcasts or anything like that you want to recommend? If it's okay if you don't.
Yeah, I don't have anything too crazy. So I kept a blog while I was abroad, and I've kind of just restarted it as
Perfect.
a general travel blog.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be moving with that. So I can send you the link to that if you want.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'll
Yeah,
definitely
so I have
look
a
at it.
lot of my stories of my time from abroad on there written while I was there. So I'm going to be adding more to that as I continue to travel and such.
Okay, yeah, perfect. What was I gonna say? Yeah, or any like Instagram or anything like that too, we'll
Yeah,
put
I'll
in.
send you all that.
Okay. And finally, what would you tell a student who's thinking about studying abroad and not really sure if they should go? Why should they go?
Yeah, my instant answer to this is do it. I have zero regrets. I'm not going to pretend like being away for 4 months was easy. And I mean, it's life, and so sometimes it's challenging. I mean, not every moment was perfect, but I have zero regrets about going, and I say it was the best experience of my life. I learned so much during my time there. So I think people should be conscious of their needs, find a program that works for you. Don't get yourself into a program you think you'd be super uncomfortable with, but also don't be afraid to challenge yourself. I just think there's so much you can learn from being in an actual place, And that type of learning of getting the experience of being there, you can't replicate that in a classroom halfway across the world. And I've seen so many changes in myself. I know I learned so much, and I think I recommend study abroad to everyone, and anyone who knows me knows I talk about it a lot because it was such an impactful experience on my life. And I really always hope that other people go and take that experience because I think they can gain a lot from it.
Okay, perfect. No, also too, I wanted to ask you, I'm going to start doing this, and I didn't send you the question before, but it's probably pretty easy for you to answer. For any student listening who is thinking about coming to the United States, could you maybe tell me a little bit about Valparaiso and what made you go there and what life is like on campus at Valpo?
Yeah, so I think it'd be a great opportunity for international students to come study abroad in the U.S. as well. Would love for them to have that opportunity. Valpo is a smaller school, and so that was part of what I was looking for in the feel. I like a community feel. When I came and sat in on classes here, I felt like I could really connect, and I have had some great opportunities here with study abroad. I had a fellowship in Maryland through them. I think just how people treat each other is something that I really love about Valpo, and there are a lot of opportunities, especially coming from high school. I knew I needed an environment that was more, I could get hands-on and really feel like I do have connections with my professors. I feel like I know my classmates. So I would definitely encourage people to look at it. And if you have specific questions, like, reach out. Valpo is the type of place where they'd be willing to answer your questions and let you know if a specific resource would be available for you.
Perfect. Yeah, thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for.
Yeah.
And then finally, do you have a favorite quote you want to share?
Yeah. So my favorite quote for a while, it's attributed to Gandhi, is "Be the change you want to see in the world." And that's kind of become my life mantra, being a social worker and being someone who also loves travel, is just each and every day trying to be someone who makes a better difference in the world, but then also working towards how are we going to improve the systems that really rule our world. And then another one is by Hans Christian Andersen, who's Danish, and so is my family, but "To travel is to live." And so that's one of my favorite quotes recently, because after studying abroad, I'm like, the more you travel, the more you want to, and it's just, I need to continue to travel and see the world for the rest of my life, so.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of like get in your face, like, you better go, like, to
yeah.
travel. If you're not living, if you're not traveling, right?
Yeah, that's a good attitude I learned in general from study abroad, is just when you're somewhere for a limited period of time on this experience, you almost, at points it feels like a pressure of, you know, I need to go and do these things and see these things. And I've tried to take that mentality in my life now of being like, you know, I want to go do this thing. And being like, okay, I mean, obviously I'm going to try and be safe, but being like, you know, if I want to go and have this experience, or if I want to go and have this meaningful conversation, then, you know, what's stopping me besides myself? If I want to work towards something like that, I should.
Yeah. Good, Michelle. I like that. Yeah. Like, kind of like, why not? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. And anything else you want to add? Or I asked you everything, so you don't have to. Perfect. That was really good. I'm so happy we did this. Michelle Anderson, everyone, give us an honest review of the show. Let me know how I'm doing. Connect on social media for new episodes, etc., and blog posts. Yeah, that's about it. Michelle, thank you very much for being here again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks so much for having me. Bye.
Bye. Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to check out all the really neat infographics on the rest of the posts, as well as the interviews. There's a lot of good information. You should also download Studying Abroad 201. I really recommend it if you need kind of a fire lit under your ass for studying abroad and you need some motivation. It crafts my journey and exactly what I did. Also, we can email you new interviews, or you can connect with us on social media. All right, thanks a lot.